So let's get to the Rumble. By the way, the Spirit Squad kicks the Rumble off to no reaction.
Yeah. And in the first year, by the way, that Howard Finkel is not announcing it, it's Lillian Garcia. So she goes to go into her, start the intro, whatever, and here comes the Spirit
That's
Squad.
That's interesting. This is the first Lillian one?
Yes.
It's funny because she was dying out there going over the rules.
Yep.
It's funny that this was her first year doing it. And speaking of dying out there, the Spirit Squad. No, Al Snow. Oh, well, you remember it. It's so good. Al Snow, who, again, going back to the SNS days, I had a very public on-air spat with during
at
the interview.
At least you're not bitter about that. You got that going
Al
for
Snow's
you.
Al Snow's a moron. Anyone who thinks Al Snow doesn't know shit about shit. Okay.
I keep saying, I got to get him back on here and reprise that confrontation with you. That would be awesome.
Al Snow is an idiot. Spirit Squad. Oh, by the way.
The Red Rooster.
Yeah, by the way, when I said, oh, it'll kill all these guys and none of them will be anything.
Well, he would say to you, Dolph Ziggler went on to become the World Heavyweight Champion.
Yeah, and I'll say, what a World Heavyweight Champion he's become. We don't even remember he was a World Heavyweight Champion. One out of five ain't bad.
One out of five, yeah.
And it took, yeah. And it took, I mean, is Dolph Ziggler, I mean, how great is he?
I think he's very
I mean, he's
good.
All right. I guess he's incredibly underutilized. Yeah, I guess he made it out of it. So I guess they had one guy, but you know what? They never talk about his past in the Spirit Squad.
And it wasn't because of the Spirit Squad.
No, it wasn't.
Plus, what was his name with them? He was under another name.
Yeah. Didn't do anything. The Spirit, like, you're telling me that Dolph Ziggler wouldn't be exactly where he is today if he had never done the Spirit Squad?
Probably be further ahead, but
yes.
You know.
So Al Snow, you're stupid. You're a moron who tries to cut promos on Dave Meltzer and shoot interviews and says Hogan Andre was the best match at WrestleMania 3.
Here's the thing.
Can you show me that? Pissed me off even more about Al Snow.
My biggest problem with the Spirit Squad, and I understand,
they actually, believe it or not, after I did that interview with Al Snow,
right,
got somewhat entertaining and got were just used to be squashed by DX, but
that's the thing. Like, if the guys in it didn't have quite the potential that they did, ironically, I wouldn't have as big a problem with it. That's a gimmick you should give guys who don't have as high of a ceiling as those guys potentially had. Then again, you need a certain amount of work rate to do the gymnastics, athletics type stuff, so it's a catch-22. But yeah, I hated it more because I saw that it was a waste of those five guys. But if in the moments I could divorce myself from that, it was like, damn, they're putting on some pretty good matches.
They wound up doing the best they could with a hideous gimmick.
Right.
A gimmick that has a clearly defined low ceiling. So anyway.
But it's something guaranteed to get the crowd booing you. I'm not going to go Al Snow mode of defending it. I'm not going to defend
it. It did eventually start drawing the right amount of heat. But
right.
First, man, like here, this is one of their first appearances.
That's right.
I remember their very first appearance. It drew no reaction. And it drew very little reaction here. It was X-Pac heat. It wasn't heel. It wasn't the good kind of heel heat they were looking for.
Right.
But again, I thought the Rumble, and you referenced it,
mm-hmm.
with being placed in the middle of the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
And then with the Spirit Squad.
Felt mid-card.
It felt like a very mid-card match for the first time. The Rumble had never felt like a mid-card match. So
right.
It starts out with Triple H and Rey. And they do the old 1 and 2 lasting all the way gimmick. I felt that they'd gone to the well one too many times with this by this point.
They had.
And I think that Triple H, so
Ray came out in Eddie's car, by the way, getting the Eddie chant from the crowd.
I didn't have a huge problem with that.
No, not with that.
Okay.
Compared to the other stuff that would happen.
Here's the thing. So the goal here was to get Ray over, right?
Mm-hmm.
In this Rumble. I thought that by having Triple H out there with him the whole time, it sort of just took away from Ray.
Well, here's the thing, too.
It didn't work. Now, the crowd did wind up popping big when Ray tossed Triple H.
I know you're not a big fan of when two big stars are out there and somebody else comes in, the two big stars are like, get on my level! But they did that.
Triple I know they did.
And Ray did that with Simon Dean.
Yes, they did. I have that in my notes that I criticized it. I don't like when they do that.
Okay.
Although Simon Dean is worthless. But hey, we remember it, right, Al Snow? You tool. One guy that was tossed weight, the first third of this match, I will say, as much as I thought that the 1 and 2 going the distance thing had sort of happened too many times by this point, the first third of this match is not bad, with the exception of Ric Flair being tossed way too quickly.
Right.
You know, you had some guys, the SmackDown guys, who would come out for Ray, and he would eliminate them. The Raw guys, some of the guys at Triple H had some issues with, one of them, Flair, another one, Big Show, he would eliminate. Bobby Lashley was given you know, kind of some limited time to get over, and I think he did.
Michael Cole, in a very racist moment, referring to him as the dark horse of the match.
Yes, I did catch that.
Yeah.
You know who did not get over in this match?
I know who you're going to talk about because he's writing my notes. Go for it.
Tatanka.
I remember in the SNS days how much you hated this.
Why in the fuck was Tatanka brought back? I mean, so here's the thing, too.
There were a lot of bad returns in this match, though.
Were there bad returns?
Well,
he was the only one I noted.
Eugene, who had already,
he was a return.
Already been crushed by Triple H.
Oh, he had already... Goldust came
back. I think
back.
Animal had been out for a while. Road Warrior Animal, I think, had been out for
no,
a while.
No, remember we had talked about the last one. Him and Heidenreich were coming off that highly successful title run in 05.
I thought he was gone for a while after that. Okay, but anyways.
Maybe
right,
he had been gone for like a month
Goldust.
Or something. No, I remember Cole had made, Goldust came back, but Cole made a reference. Oh, you know, Road Warrior Animals talked about how much he's accomplished and how this is the last thing
That's
he's
right.
got to, last mountain he's got to climb. But here's what I have
next. RVD was a great return, though.
RVD was a great return. But this thing started dying in the middle and never recovered, this Rumble, which reminds me a little bit of the 93 one where it dies in the middle and never recovers.
Shelton Benjamin didn't help by coming out with Mama.
You know, I remember old Boat Shoes Belfi loved Mama Benjamin.
Of course he did.
I didn't like it. Never mind. It was dumb. It was not the best use of Shelton Benjamin, clearly. But anyway, Tatanka. Let me talk about Tatanka, which I can't believe I'm talking about in the 2006 Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, why of all the people you would bring back from that era, you bring back Tatanka? I don't know. Drew no heat. And so
Bastion Booger wasn't sitting by the phone that day?
And, you know, Jerry Lowe's like, oh, I'm sure so many people remember Tatanka. It's like, Tatanka sucked.
Not fondly.
Yes. But anyway, here's the thing.
I remember bad stools that I've had in my life also.
Oh, Jesus. That sounds like a WWE 2006 joke right there. So Tatanka, what's so ridiculous about this is a lot of these returns just get that quick pop and then the guy's gone, right?
Right.
Inexplicably, Tatanka is in this thing for a long time.
Right.
Why?
No idea. Another weird thing is, too, and as much as I referenced that about this era, this compared to other years in the Rumble match, it was a down year for, as I have written down here, the gassed up muscle men. There weren't as many of them in there. You didn't have, Heidenreich, Reigns, etc.
No, but you had some guys who certainly aren't really... remembered as all-timers.
I don't want Lashley in with them just because he was more successful than...
No, Bobby Lashley was a bad loss for them. Bobby Lashley was not a guy who they want... Bobby Lashley was not a guy that they wanted to get rid of. Bobby Lashley left, so that's different.
Right. Like, I don't want him in because he was decently successful.
But, Sylvain was in it with some... He was doing some, fashion gimmick that didn't work.
Right.
Trevor Murdoch, who I always kind of liked Trevor Murdoch, but he...
You did.
He was not a... He was not a guy who was going to win here. You talk about kind of one-year wonders. Chris Masters was in here. He was a guy who they pushed too quickly.
Right.
It was funny because later on, he kind of had improved, but by that point, he was already ruined.
He was buried on Superstars, but he had so many awesome matches on there.
Awesome, maybe a bit strong.
Well, you're not reading PWO enough if you don't believe that.
Same people who said Kurt Angle's overrated, huh?
Kurt Angle overrated, Chris Masters awesome. Yeah.
That's embarrassing. Okay, so...
We love you, PWO.
I think that, again, it was somewhere in the middle of this, but the pacing was good early. It was kind of, they kept the number of guys in the ring down.
Right.
Even if Ric Flair was limited too quickly, which he was.
Right.
The key to this, and we've mentioned this in previous Rumble discussions, you never really want to have more than eight guys in the ring at a time.
I'm a fan of keeping it streamlined. Yeah.
But in the middle of this thing, all of a sudden, no one was being eliminated.
Yep.
The ring started filling up with guys that you really didn't care about. And I don't think the match really recovered at all until it came down to the final three, Ray, Triple H, and Orton.
Well, by the way, you might want to talk about, as well, for the second year in a row, boy, talk about a guy that didn't want to do clean jobs even in the Rumble. Last year,
Shawn Michaels.
It's Angle's that Angle comes out and takes out HBK. This year... It's Mr. McMahon and Shane thus kicking off the WrestleMania feud.
Yes, we should bring up. That was kind of, it's funny. A lot of these Rumbles kind of have notable moments that you remember.
Mm-hmm.
This one really didn't.
Right.
They were going for, again, Shawn getting screwed in the Rumble.
Right.
Where he had already been feuding with Vince McMahon because I think he had told him something to get over it with the Montreal Screwjob.
Right.
Because remember this, in 06, Brett gets inducted into the Hall of Fame.
That's right.
And, you know, Vince got very mad at him. And, yes, Shane McMahon, they dust him out of mothballs and he tosses Shawn Michaels when Vince comes on to distract
him. I was always a fan of good use of Shane McMahon.
By this point, I didn't
care
anymore.
Really work a fine garbage match.
I don't know. Yeah, well, who can't? If you can't get over in that environment, then how can he get over? Shane had gone past the 15-minute mark, I thought, by 2006.
I was always a mark. Here come the money.
That dance. He thought he was like so cool. It's like, you're kind of old, man. What are you doing? But
it was funny when he was doing a pushing 50.
Yeah. But Michaels, anyway, he lasts kind of towards the end, and they dump the McMahons, conspire to dump him, and RVD, so that leaves a final four of RVD, Ray, Orton, Triple H. RVD gets tossed. And then the crowd sort of wakes up when Ray throws out Triple H. Mm-hmm. And by that point, it's kind of obvious Ray's going to win. He tosses Orton for the win. What do you think about Rey Mysterio, Royal Rumble winner? Was this the right choice?
Well, if you're going to tell me that it had to be hat in hand with all the crap they ended up going along with, and Eddie's in hell and whatever, then I'd say no. Because
if you didn't do that, but you did a more subtle thing where Eddie dedicating to his, Ray dedicating
I've
to Eddie.
I've done the same thing, yeah.
Ray dedicating to Eddie, hey, I'm going to win the Rumble, and hey, now I'm going to go on to WrestleMania.
That
if it would have been more subtle, would you have been in favor of it?
And by subtle, are we saying that that's not going to be a point of contention for the heels to jump in and the heels?
No,
just
it would not be.
Go?
No, it will
okay.
not be. It will
yeah,
not
no,
be
no, no.
that. No,
that
you will not
fine.
Have. You will not have it's, Randy Orton coming on saying,
okay.
"Eddie's in hell,"
or "I'm going to make you let down the spirit of Eddie Guerrero by not winning the title."
No.
Okay. All right. Those circumstances, it's good. I still look at this. I mean, I'm just glancing at my notes here. You know, you've also got a returning RVD. It's a chance to push him to the top.
Well, here's the thing with RVD. They already had in mind what they were going to do with him.
What?
So I would win Money in the Bank and go to the ECW pay-per-view.
That. Okay.
So with him, I don't fault them. Look, he was in the final four. There's a lot of times RVD got the short end of the stick or the short end of the joint, as it might be. This was not one of them.
Hashtag Ironton.
Yes. I look at this and I say, I'm not really they didn't kind of need to shake things up with the Batista injury. I want to go back to your point, though. Would it have been better if they would have just done this for the title and Ray won the title in the Rumble?
Sure. I think so. I think that would have been something pretty good there. Or they could have done the thing where Angle wins it here and maybe Ray subsequently challenges for it. Or, given that the real heat for WrestleMania, and it's so funny, you talk three ways with Angle. We've talked about this in past ones here about how he would get inserted into stuff.
Yeah, there's another occasion at WrestleMania.
Orton, the real heat was between Orton and Ray. How about Orton wins the Rumble, Ray becomes number one contender, challenges him head up at WrestleMania. There's more heat on that kind of a scenario than there would have been in the three-way because Angle was sort of like the innocent bystander to an actual WrestleMania feud. He was the other guy in the match who just happened to be the champion. But I'll tell you, though, in looking at this, this is one of these things where I know you don't agree with me on this because I think we've talked about this before, and I think this is where you kind of find me to be Nelson nitpicker yet again, but I think it's a plot hole in that Eddie passed away before they could. I assume one way or another they were going full circle with the whole thing with him and Ray. The most heated SmackDown feud of 2005, the blood feud of the year, was Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio. And then, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they're lifelong best friends. And
well, I don't think, I don't know. To me, I don't know. Then, obviously, you're becoming Fritz Von Erich, then, with keeping kayfabe. Oh, I was feuding with him. I mean, I think
so
that would have been in poor taste.
So this is like 2000 WCW, and we should just be like, you know, everything else is fake, but this is real. Is that what you want to do?
If they look, I see where you're going, but this is an instance where I'm willing to look past that.
Okay,
man died.
I'm not saying it's not a reason to.
I mean, it's like you know.
But it's like to me, it's like the frosting on the cake.
I mean, even
Rick. Like
I mean, even
this.
In '82 or '83 or whatever it was, '84.
Yeah.
You know, they had Ric Flair say nice things about David Van Erich on the World Class Show.
what, heels aren't allowed to show some level of class to a guy who died young and tragically? I mean, that's...
Ray's not as a baby face?
I wasn't thinking, oh, to be in character, Ric Flair would have come out on world-class champion, world-class wrestling, chugging from a bottle of champagne and gloating about it. I don't think anybody was looking for that.
Well, I mean, you're saying that Ray shouldn't have...
I'm just
refer
like,
to the fact that Eddie was his friend.
There's a for those of us who, and again, I count myself as a past viewer of a Guiding Light back when it was good.
Jesus Christ!
Retconning, retroactive continuity is what we refer to it in the soap opera world here. A little bit of retconning the whole Ray Eddie thing.
I can't remember how they may have glossed. Oh well, you know, maybe we may, but I don't have a problem with that.
Okay,
I think that was nitpicking. I had no, again. Maybe I'm the only guy. Maybe I'm insensitive. I had no problem with when, especially in the, like, the situation, you know, situation sometimes dictates action.
Yeah.
And the situation here was you needed to elevate a new babyface on the SmackDown side because Batista was hurt. Ray was the most logical choice. And yes, it was over the top and it got into poor taste, but him dedicating the Rumble to Eddie and winning, I have no problem with. If it would have been a much more subtle thing, I have no problem with that.
Here's the thing, though. You talk about that, but something we gloss over in all of this, and I myself did in mentioning the three-way world title match, but need a new big baby face on SmackDown. Well, in a nod to the fact that it was, you know, I mean, they basically had like Kurt Angle denouncing the troops and everything against John Cena. They had him going to the furthest.
Yes,
you know,
that was bad too. And Joe was bad too.
What?
He was a Raw guy who just came over one. And they did that with Helms too.
Right.
That's two times in a 3-week span. I know obviously the jobber weight title is much
different. Right.
But they had a Raw guy come over and just win a SmackDown title.
But here's the thing though. Kurt Angle, again, the fans were dying for him to turn face. He did. I think he was off to a definitely effective start as a champion on SmackDown. You're talking about this big baby face void on SmackDown without Eddie there, and the freaking world champion is a fairly hot baby face. I mean, there's a little bit of a disconnect, Kyle Ross.
No, I don't think Kurt Angle was a long-term option there.
You don't think so?
No, because the man was about ready to lose his mind.
Well, it's true. He went.
he was not. Kurt Angle
dude,
was.
They weren't going to send him.
When
Vince McMahon was not where he was with him in the spring, like he was late summer.
Vince McMahon
doesn't let him go into WrestleMania, although he did it in 2003. But he doesn't do it a second time if he thinks Angle's about to go over the edge.
Well,
I guarantee you.
You have to remember that was not the plan again. Kurt Angle was a Band-Aid.
Right.
All along. So let's talk about the original plan. For WrestleMania 22, was Cena Triple H on the Raw side, which they did. And we'll bitch about Raw momentarily.
Uh-huh.
And then it was Batista defending against Orton for SmackDown.
That's what I thought. Yeah.
So what they did
and
was...
They did some jaw-jacking between them at Mania, didn't they, to tease...
Yeah, and I mean, there was obviously the former guys in Evolution, and I guess that makes sense. Although, it was funny, Orton lost a couple times Undertaker, and... Certainly wasn't being built up as a number one contender.
Beat him at SummerSlam, though.
Yeah, lost to him the month before this show, Hell in a Cell, though.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if the original idea was Orton to win this. I don't know.
Probably. Or to win the February, you know, contendership.
Or Triple H was going to win this.
Yeah.
To set up the match with Cena. I don't know what the plan was there. But I don't have a problem with Ray winning here. I think that... The follow-up was just very poor,
right?
Is what it was. I mean, that's the problem. The follow-up was pretty poor, and the Rumble itself is pretty boring.
Well, and then it became a thing where Vince became petrified as soon as Ray won the title. That if he was booked against any, if he was not dominated by anyone that weighed 3 pounds more than him, that it would expose the business.
Oh yeah, and that
so
was
you
the thing
have
too.
Months
like,
of him being treated as a javelin.
What made no sense is they do this. They have him win the Rumble. I think because the crowd did pop. The crowd was pretty fired up for him winning. So you had something there, and then you immediately just squashed it. by having him lose to Orton at the next pay-per-view. And remember how he got back in the title match? Like, Teddy Long felt bad for him. He's like, all right, well, you get to go back in anyway.
Yeah.
They did such a poor job.
They always meant to take it away from him, which I don't even understand the point of that. Why does he win the Rumble, but it was going to be to take it away from him and have it be Orton versus Adam?
Yeah, that may be, again, there was a lot of confusion here. So
right.
Let's talk about a time where they did stick to a game plan on the Raw side.
To a fault, I think.
Yes. John Cena and Edge. So, 2006 actually got off to a fairly interesting start. I remember being really shocked at the time. We did this post-show for this. I remember watching it at the studio.
We did know there was an expiration date on the suitcase and the clock was clicking. Or
yeah,
the briefcase.
But you know what, though? It's so funny because the Money in the Bank gimmick has become so overdone now in 2015. Now,
Edge
as we roll into 2016.
Carrying it everywhere, though.
No, what's that?
Edge wasn't carrying it around.
No, he wasn't.
Yeah, element of surprise.
And we had never seen anything like what happened at the end of New Year's Revolution, where Edge comes out, he's had this briefcase, he won the first one, and after Cena wins the Elimination Chamber match, is all bloody. Vince, and I thought that helped sell it, too. They don't do it. Now it's just the guy just runs out and demands the referee starts the match, and it kind of comes across as lame. This was better, where Vince came out, said, this pay-per-view is not over, a man is... decided to cash in his Money in the Bank privilege. Here's Edge. And that was an awesome freaking moment when Edge comes down and just destroys Cena and beats him for the title. Cena had not lost since WrestleMania.
Wait, so you like this moment, but you don't like the ending of WrestleMania 9?
Correct.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm just trolling you with that. Okay. It's kind of the same thing. But
no, not really. Yes. Not really. Because you didn't eviscerate, because I'll tell you what, you didn't eviscerate the top babyface in your company.
Yeah, I guess not.
Okay, strict constructionalist, gotcha. I thought you Republicans didn't like gotcha journalism. It's not the same.
Depends on who it's aimed at.
You didn't kill your company dead. The problem with WrestleMania 9 is you killed the active guys.
That's right.
And that Hogan didn't do the job. I would have had less of a problem with that. Mm-hmm. I would have had less of a problem with that had they gone through with the original plan, which was Hogan jobbing to Hart at SummerSlam.
Allegedly the plan. I mean, there are different versions of history out there.
I'm pretty sure that was the plan. That was a passing the torch match at that SummerSlam. I have a WWE magazine where they were doing a tale of the tape, Hogan and Hart.
There's a picture out there that I don't know that anybody's ever been able to find, but Brett said they were doing one with the tug of war with a belt with him and Hogan.
Yeah, I have it. It's the WWE magazine.
Is it in the magazine?
Yes, I have it somewhere.
Dude, you could get like $5 billion for that on eBay, because I've seen online where people are like, I don't even think this picture exists. Okay.
Hopefully my mom didn't throw those magazines out.
I hope not. Yeah, she screwed you if so. But you know,
disgusting. But anyway, so that was fine. This, first of all, is a heel character. It made sense in the storyline.
Right.
And it worked to perfection. And Edge, he wins out of nowhere.
Right.
It was elevating a new guy. It wasn't some old kook way past his prime coming back. It was Edge elevating. And the natural thing was obviously to do a rematch at the Royal Rumble between Edge and Cena. Right? Edge now the champion.
With one of the things you and I hate the most at this time of year, Edge with the obligatory, I am not a transitional champion.
Yes, and then they kept referencing that he was after the fact. Well, why we even reference that? I have that in my notes too. That was so foul and didn't need to be mentioned.
I don't know if this is a WWE. I think this is a WWE Network miscue. I have in my notes that it's that as opposed to the original pay per view. I don't know which, but there was a graphic earlier in the show that described Cena as the champion going into this match, which is I thought that was hilarious.
I missed that.
A botched graphic.
Okay. Well, you know what else they botched? Here's the booking. So, Edge...
Cena had a spaceship-like entrance that was not bad, though.
No, that wasn't.
Yeah.
That was good. It made him good. And the issue here was Edge had gotten hot. It was a very hot angle they did with how he won the title in New Year's Revolution. And they do the live sex celebration, which did a good number. He had a TLC match against Ric Flair, which did a good number. And 3 weeks later... that's all Edge run. Like, the first week on Raw was the sex celebration, then it was the TLC, and then basically you're at the Rumble. So it's a three-week reign, and you beat him. And that was a mistake.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty much become universally accepted that he got the Raw deal here, because in their minds, well, the plan was all along, it's going to be Cena and Triple H.
Right.
Well, to me, and certainly this is with the benefit of hindsight, you know, Cena versus Triple H was not an established program coming out of the show by
right.
any means. So you could have carried it on, and I do know, and this is where the brand split kind of hurt them in their minds, well, SmackDown had the next pay-per-view. When are we going to change? When is Cena going to? Well, just do it on freaking Raw.
Yeah.
Because they wrestled again on Raw, and it was a pretty good match.
The night after the February pay-per-view. Of like, you know, this is it, cage match, winner goes to WrestleMania.
It could even be before the February pay-per-view, because you ideally like to set the Mania main event up as soon as possible, and usually I'm in favor of them doing that, but...
But they don't like they didn't like in that era to do anything to take the steam off the next
yes,
pay-per-view.
You're right, but...
So, you know, there's that. But here's the other thing, too. If you weren't doing a three-way on SmackDown, just do what you did subsequently, Cena... Edge, Triple H. Edge is the champion going into Mania, and it's Cena and Triple H both angling to take it off.
Well, that's what they wound up doing after WrestleMania, if you
right.
remember.
Could now, have sped it up,
again,
though.
It's funny with the you know, you talk about how, you know, Hogan never did the job to Hart in 93.
Right.
I'm not as if Edge had never gotten another chance at the top, I mm-hmm. certainly would be a lot more irritated about this than I am
right.
now. But, you know, with RVD screwing up, he wound up winning the title back in 06 anyway.
Right.
Working and did a longer program with Cena that was good.
The one thing, though, where, you know...
And then he obviously got a big chance in 07 on SmackDown. So, I mean, Edge was a... He got a good run. He not gotten anything more than those 3 weeks, that would have been terrible.
But see, by popping the ratings like he did, by being as unexpectedly hot as he was, that did sort of ensure that somewhere, some way, even if it's on SmackDown, he's going to be on top again.
Yeah, and I mean, they rehabilitated him with the win over Foley at WrestleMania.
Right.
But I just think that when I watched this at the time, and I watch it in retrospect, it was not the right time to have Cena just
totally
win the title
agree.
Back 3 weeks later. And the match felt rushed. Like, it was a 15-minute match
yeah.
where it was pretty cookie-cutter. It was nowhere near the standard the two had later set. This was like a two-star title match.
In my notes, I just said that it was an average match between them. They
yeah.
they did a lot better than this. That year on pay-per-view alone, many other times they did better than this.
By the way, your wrestling fans, there was a sign in the crowd, Edge, the cheating champ. Cena, the real champ.
Sounds like a Cena fan.
There was also, yes, I mocked the use of the term transitional champ for Edge. I am not a transitional champ. Why would you have a guy say that? And then you also had post-match Jim Duggan
I was gonna bring
greeting
this up.
Lita with a ho. I kind of laughed.
Well, hey, a less painful use of Hacksaw Jim yeah. Duggan than many of his other appearances yeah. on Raw over the
All
years.
Right, folks. Well, that's the end of the 2006 Royal Rumble. No more matches to talk about, obviously. You know, Edge. Oh, wait.
This is the thing. I gotta say this. I have in my notes here that it reminded me of, you know how like at MSG on the old shows, I mean the real old shows, they'd throw on like a random tag match at the end. As you know, the main event's in the middle of the show, but technically the main event is Pete Sanchez and the Brooklyn Brawler against whatever.
Well, there was a reason they did that back in the day is because... like with Hogan Harley Race, for
yeah.
instance, I know, like, I'm just bringing up a random program.
Mm-hmm.
They would go to a non-finish.
Right.
And then they would announce during intermission, you know, that the WWF has ordered a rematch between these two next month when we come back.
Right.
That's why they did that.
And that's where, like, in my notes, what I'm saying is that the crowd being dead at the end, like, the crowd treated it like one of those MSG tag-on matches at the end. The crowd was totally dead for this match.
And by this, we should tell the people what it is. Kurt Angle, Mark Henry,
I was gonna SmackDown
title match.
Okay. Olympian v. Olympian.
Okay, on paper, that sounds good. So this is one of those things where you check all the boxes, you fill in the spreadsheet, as you say, and it still didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So I was watching this, and I'm like, you know, they were doing a kind of good job building up Mark Henry here. You know, they did the spot on SmackDown where he powered out of the ankle lock. No one's ever done that.
Right.
But much like the previous year title matches where – I could only take the match so seriously because JBL sucked as champion. Or I could only take the match so seriously because Orton sucked as a face. It's Mark Henry. And I know, look, you talk about message board people that confused me. I remember this at the time being told this. People were like, oh, people are really going for this Mark Henry now.
Right.
And the fact is...
It was a good run, but it was not nearly to the level of his Black Vader run of 2011. That was much better.
But here's the issue. You always talk about, oh, they like to pretend this never happened.
Mm-hmm.
They were pretending that the previous 9 years of his career
and
hadn't
happened.
And that's true. And that, I had a very hard time, I remember, during this period, accepting Mark Henry in any sort of serious role. Especially because for years the joke was, oh, I can't wait till 2006 when his contract's up and they're finally done with this.
Right.
And then he winds up re-signing.
Well, it was a matter of timing because in 2006 he was getting the best push he'd gotten in a couple of years and they wanted to re-sign him. The interesting thing is, if they could have looked 5 years into the future, one of the things that made the 2011 run so magical was the whole Hall of Pain stuff. If it would have been this kind of thing of like, Mark Henry has just snapped and now he's a murdering machine. That would have been more of a thing of a way to do it as opposed to just like, you should take Mark Henry seriously now, which is all it was.
Yes, that's all it was. You're right. I mean, I have in my notes, after 10 years, you just can't, quote unquote, rehabilitate Mark Henry. You can't. It takes some time.
Well,
and they, again, this was a nuke. This was a microwave push because of the lack of depth, which, again, in the wake of the Batista injury and this being the title match, I can't help but think they wouldn't have been better served just putting the SmackDown title up for grabs in the Rumble.
Well, and the thing of it is, too,
I was going to say, the only reason this did go on last is so they could do a stupid spot with The Undertaker at the end.
Yeah, where
that wound up meaning nothing.
Yeah, but it was setting up for Angle v. Undertaker the next month, but here's the weird thing about, and then indirectly for Angle v, or Henry v. Taker at WrestleMania, but in my notes I have here that it was a really strange dynamic because, again, they were doing the force feed of Henry as a monster all at this time just to fatten him up for Undertaker at WrestleMania, and then secondarily over the summer, a program with Batista when he comes back because Henry was going to be credited with injuring Batista. So Henry was in his fattening up run. He couldn't afford to look bad here. It was interesting because Angle, as we indicated before, had just turned face, and yet he's now more in the role here of cool heel against him because they're setting it up like, oh, Henry is so dominant, Angle can't beat him straight up. Angle, as the babyface, is using the unprotected chair shots to him. He's taking the turnbuckle padding off. Angle's doing all these heelish things to try to beat Mark Henry because they're trying to force it down our throats. This Mark Henry is so dominant, how can any man beat him one-on-one? Like you said, after a decade
of him looking like a fool on TV.
A mid-carder at best.
Yeah, at best.
At best.
I thought this is a terrible closer for a pay-per-view. I mean, you talk about a terrible opener and a terrible closer.
And a terrible middle. So very fitting. I mean, this show was just shite top to bottom.
What did you give the Rumble match?
I gave it one, and I want to say,
low.
Well, 1.5 stars. I have it as of right now as my third worst ever. 1995, 1 star. 1994, 1.25 stars. I have this one at 1.5 stars, just behind 91, 1.75 stars.
4 Rumbles already under 2 stars. You are so much more at the polar opposites. I gave this 2.25.
Okay.
Maybe 2. I'll have to sort it out because when we get to the more modern Rumbles, like the last 5, I know they'll all be in that range, so I'll sort them out a little bit more. But this is like a 2, 2.25 star. It's just going to escape my bottom 5. I know that.
It's in it for right now, and given the crap that lies ahead in the decade, there may be something to dislodge it, but I don't know. I hated this show. It was awful. The thing at the end, The Undertaker comes out with the druids,
and
special effects.
And yeah, okay, it established him as Angle's contender for the No Way Out show. But after that, it just kind of like, was it real? To me, here's the thing. Did you really need to have this match go on last? So you could have a supernatural effect where Undertaker knocks the ring down and Taz goes, holy shit.
Yeah.
To set up that match. Did you really need to do that?
Not really.
Like, I mean, even as flawed as Cena going under Edge was, that would have been a better ending than that.
Well, and here's the interesting thing, because this was not nearly, obviously, as big a match as Cena versus Edge. So to do this crappy ending here, they kind of had to structure it the way that they did. Because as we said before, it's the first time that the Rumble wasn't at least the penultimate match on the card. But there's no way you could make Cena Edge a total mid-card thing by putting it on before the Rumble. You couldn't do that. It had to be no worse than second to the last. So if you're going to do the special effects hooey, you
which
had
I'm
to
saying
do-
was dumb. Like, it didn't
right.
work. Like,
right.
Did anyone, like, 2 months later remember this?
Well, do some kind of controversial ending with The Undertaker if you have to. Look at the outright ripoff endings of, like, 1995 or 1994 where the whole roster's running in. You know what I mean? They've done unclean endings in the Royal Rumble before when they only had one title and it was hugely damaging. One title, less pay-per-views. It was really damaging to pull the crap that they did in years like that. This year, what the hell? You got two world titles. Who's even going to care? It's on the worst show you've ever done. You know, I totally agree with you. They should have structured it another way. Cena Edge should have closed. Although, here's what's interesting. You and I say Cena Edge should have closed, but you and I say Cena shouldn't have gone over.
No, I would have. The Rumble should close.
Rumble should have closed. Yeah,
Rumble,
you're probably right.
I would not have done a Supernatural. Again, fantasy booking world, I wouldn't even have had a SmackDown title match. I would have had the Rumble be for the SmackDown title.
That's right. There you go.
And then I would have had Edge beat Cena right before that on the Raw side.
Right. But
by
yeah.
the way, you could have made a case that Edge Cena could have gone all the way to WrestleMania. It was I thought that was a good,
absolutely,
feud. Like, right, you had there was a
the
real
political reality is though. What are you going to do with Triple H?
Maybe he works with Ray then, although he probably doesn't want to be the bad guy who is fighting for hell.
Well, who knows? Well, he was friends with Lemmy, but
who's bigger, Lemmy or God?
Wasn't it that Lemmy
False
thinks
question.
He's God?
Yeah, yeah. Lemmy is God. It's from the movie Airheads.
Yeah.
Why do I know that? Anyway, I just think that, like, you could have done something with Ray and Triple H coming out of the Rumble, and that was the time. You could have done a lot of things, but, you know, we got what we got. We got the last WrestleMania that was ever not held in the stadium. I know
that's
that.
Right.
But
probably the last one that ever will be, at least until things drastically change.
And Rey Mysterio's time as a main eventer is rather short.
Well, by the way, too, for one of America's absolutely most historic wrestling cities, going back, I mean, decades and decades and decades, quite possibly maybe the last WrestleMania in Chicago. Because I've asked you before, WrestleMania at Soldier Field, you don't think so. You don't think they'd brave the temperatures. So,
it could be cold. It's right there on the water, man.
It is, yeah. So WrestleMania Wrigley Field, that would have quite a
yeah, it's
vibe
too small.
To yeah.
Wrigley Field's small.
You're right. It's basically like, what, twice the United Center. That there'd be no point in that. You're
no.
absolutely right.
No, they'll never do
so,
that.
So, yeah, that's a wrap on 06. We hated it. And again,
is this the worst Royal Rumble pay-per-view? Forget about Rumble match. Is this the worst Royal Rumble pay-per-view we've talked about so far?
You know, as I'm looking, I mean, I don't know. I really hated 94 and 95 also, but you know what? Yeah,
that had some stuff, though, that was okay.
Yeah, well, it's like, but here's the thing. I mean, like, even 94 and 95, a lot of the stuff that they were doing that allegedly was supposed to mean something still felt mid-card, but yeah, you know what? Here's the thing. Like, 94 and 95, like, I don't like this. 2006, I so actively dislike it, I will say that it's
below. Okay, that's what I think. I think this is the worst Rumble pay-per-view we've talked about so far.
Active dislike. Here's hoping it never gets worse than that again. And as I predicted, we had fun griping about it. Hope you had fun listening to it.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.